Well, I was reading in my Bible. Yes. That is a good thing to do with, you know, if you're a pastor. Hallelujah. I'd like you to turn to John chapter 9. We're going to take a look at a familiar story. One that in part has been misinterpreted. And we'll deal with that as well. We've talked about it before, but we'll kind of touch on it again. John chapter 9, and we'll begin in verse 1. It says, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth." And it goes without saying, if you're blind from birth, you've never seen anything. Now here's food for thought. Science has proven that everybody dreams. If you're blind from birth, what would you dream about? Is that not interesting? That's not the sermon tonight. Hallelujah. That's just something if you get bored with the sermon, you can think about that. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Now, if you read just quickly past that, you can miss the significance of this question. Why in the world would they ask who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Because if he was born blind, that would mean he would have to have sinned prior to his birth. You see this? I mean, it wouldn't be retroactive. So, and here's, we've talked about this before, but here's why they ask that. It's because that there was a teaching among the Jews that said if somebody was born with any kind of a physical handicap or deformity, I mean, whatever it would be, that it was one of two things. That either your parents sinned or you sinned while you were in the womb. And that this is God punishing you. Well, the very fact that they asked this question means they believed this teaching because it had been hammered into them. Well, Jesus answered and just completely destroys that particular doctrine. He says, "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents." Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents. So what he's telling them is, fellas, look, I've heard the same thing you've heard. And you need to understand that this man being born blind is not a result of his parents sinning or him sinning in the womb before he was born. Okay, now, can you imagine the disciples? They've asked this question and Jesus answers them. And they're going to be looking at each other and, what? But we've always heard, I mean, Jesus, every priest that I've ever heard teach has said the other. Every Pharisee that I've ever heard, they've taught us. Born blind because of parents or you committed sin. But now you turn around and you say, that's not the cause. Jesus, we've never heard teaching like this. Sound familiar? And Jesus said, well, neither this man sinned nor his parents. But that the works of God should be made manifest in him, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. See, a lot of people have taught that this verse, this passage is telling us that God made this guy blind so that God could come along someday and prove how great he is. And maybe you've heard that teaching. That's ridiculous. Let me ask you a question. Anybody that creates a universe, do they have to make somebody be born blind to prove how great they are to heal that person? I mean, the fallacy of such a belief, and yet the crazy thing is there are people today who believe this. God will put something on you to teach you a lesson. Or, you know, God gets the glory out of your sickness and disease because when he heals you, then everybody will know it was God. You know, I don't need somebody to get healed to believe that God is the healer or to believe that he's alive. So see, there's a whole lot of crazy doctrine wrapped up in just these very few verses. Well, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the man of the blind man with clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way therefore and washed, and came seeing. Now, who do you think's really happy? The man born blind. Now let's think about this scenario. The guy was born blind. He has never seen anything. This guy doesn't know the difference between a camel and a billy goat. I mean, think of it. Somebody could say, hey, you see that camel over there? He'd say, no, I don't see any cigarettes. They say, he said, camel, what do you mean a camel? Well, you see that thing over there? It's got the two humps on its back. And just, well, that's called a camel. And that thing over there, it's got the fuzz hanging off its chin. That's a billy goat. I mean, this guy's never seen anything. He wouldn't know a dog from a cat. Now, he would if it barked or meowed. But if one just came up to him, he wouldn't know what it was. He wouldn't know red from blue. He wouldn't know black from white. He wouldn't know green on grass. He would not know. He has never seen anything. So Jesus makes the clay and anoints the guy's eyes, and he goes to this pool. He says, now go to the pool. You ever wondered how he got there? I mean, he's a blind guy with mud all over his face, all right? Now, since he's been blind from birth, I'm sure he knew where this pool was, okay? And I'm sure that he had some kind of a walking stick or, you know, a cane. And he probably didn't need anybody to lead him to the pool because he was familiar with the area. But somebody may have taken him. But nevertheless, he goes to the pool and he bends over and he washes the mud off of his face. What's the first thing he sees? He sees himself. Now, for some people, that could be scary. The devil! So the first thing he sees is himself. Now he knows what he looks like. So now he's got to figure out who everybody else is. He doesn't know his brothers or sisters. He knows voices. But he does not know what people look like. Now look at this. He came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Okay, now, work with me on this. This guy's been blind from birth, right? He's got to be at least 18, okay? I mean, he might be in his 20s or 30s, but he's at least, you know, 18. And you're going to see that he's older later on in this. So, and he's been blind from birth. His neighbors are there, okay? He comes seeing. Now, what's happened? Here he is blind. Jesus puts the mud on. And he says, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. He says, okay. So he goes over to the pool of Siloam. Wash, wash, wash. Ah, so that's what I look like. And then he goes back. When he gets back, some of his neighbors act like they don't even recognize him. What did he like? Get a shave and a haircut? In between. Did he change his clothes? Did he grow a foot? I mean, not a foot. I mean, did he grow like 12 inches? What happened to him? Listen, I'm telling you right now, and I don't fully know what, something happened to that guy other than he got his sight back. There was a change in that man. I mean, he walked away wearing the same set of clothes that he came back wearing. And yet they'd seen him all his life, his neighbors. And the people recognized from his begging. They and he comes back and they look at him. And it's like, was that him? I said, wait a minute, he's got the same clothes on he had 10 minutes ago. He hasn't changed other than he can see, but something was different about him. There's a difference in his step. There's a difference in his walk. There's a difference in his face. His whole countenance has changed. There's more than just sight that's returned to these or been given to these eyes. There is, I'll say it this way, there is a presence about this man because he's had an encounter with the power of God. And it made such a change in him that when he came back, some of the neighbors weren't even sure he's the same man, even though he had the same clothes on, the same beard, the same haircut, everything. And they looked at him and they said, is that Bob? And they said, well, yeah, I think it is. You mean Bob that begged? Yeah, Beggar Bob. Is that him? Well, nah, that ain't him. I can't be. This guy's, he's just not the same. And old Beggar Bob, he says, it is me. I can see. Okay, now. Therefore, said they unto him, what convinced them that it was him? Well, they got a better look at him, and plus they heard his voice. So it's like, well, yeah. Looks like Bob. Talks like Bob. Smells like Bob. Must be Bob. Only now he can see. Therefore, said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? Wouldn't you ask? I mean, somebody that was born blind suddenly drives up to your front door. I mean, the front to it, not in it, to it. They see, and you went, how did you get your sight? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received my sight. Then said they unto him, well, where is he? Wouldn't you ask? I got some family members that could use some healing. He said, I know not. Now, I don't know where he is now. I know what he did for me, but I don't know where he is right now. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. Okay, now, the guy's got his sight, but why would they bring him to the Pharisees? Well, now think, he's been born blind. He doesn't know a Pharisee from a Sadducee. He doesn't know a Pharisee from a Roman. You know what I mean? He's never seen what a Pharisee wears. Now, he's heard their voice, I'm sure, but he doesn't know what they look like. And so they would have said, listen, man, this is incredible. I mean, you were born blind. Nobody gets their sight when you're born blind. No, I've never heard of such a thing. We got to go tell the Pharisees. Come on. And he says, well, where are they? I mean, he would have known where they are as far as like, where's the temple? I mean, he's been born blind. Blind people, they're taught to get around, okay? But as far as, you know, well, where are the Pharisees right now? Well, they're back over here. Come on, come on, come on. We got to go tell them. I mean, this is incredible. This is incredible. So they take him to the Pharisees. And in verse 14, it says, it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. Okay, now this is so clinical, the way this is written. But now it's the Sabbath, all right? So you can imagine, here comes a bunch of people all excited about something, and it's not the Pharisees' sermon. And they come up and they say, hey, look at this. It's Beggar Bob. Remember him, blind Beggar Bob? And the Pharisees are, you know, big beards and robes and, you know, the full trappings and the scowl on their face. And they say, this is blind Beggar Bob. Remember him, but he's not blind anymore. And I doubt if he'll be begging anymore. So from now on, we just call him Bob. Remember, he used to sit down over here and beg because he was born blind, but he got his sight back. I mean, you can imagine the clamor that's going on. And here are these Pharisees. What? What? He was born blind? Huh. Well, let's see. What did you hear what they're saying about this? Well, no, peace. Be quiet. Sir, tell us what happened. Look here. They asked him how he received his sight. How did you receive your sight? And he said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and do see. Now, this is the short version, but the guy would have said the same thing. You know, well, this guy, Jesus, I mean, he made the clay, put it on my eyes. I went and I washed it, come, and I can see. I mean, I got my sight back. Therefore, now look at this. Therefore, some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. All right, what are they saying? They're saying the same thing that you hear today. Healing is not for today. It just so happens they're talking about a specific day, not a time period. They're saying healing's not for today. Why not? Well, it's the Lord's day. Wait a minute, let me get this straight. This is the day we're supposed to recognize God, and you're saying that healing's not for today. That's what they said. But, now look at this. The others said, well, okay, yeah, it is the Sabbath, but how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. So here you have one group of Pharisees saying, he can't be of God, it's the Sabbath. He's breaking the Sabbath. And the other group saying, but wait a minute. Anybody that's born blind, you know, you don't get your sight back. Miracles like this, they don't come from just everybody. How could a sinner be used by God to perform such a miracle? So you got some Pharisees that are saying, something's going on here, and some that are saying, this is not of God. Well, they look back in verse 17. Look back at this blind man. What sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? In other words, what do you think of this man? What's your impression? You tell us. He said, he is a prophet. Tremendous insight. We're going to see this blind man, he's got a lot more wisdom than a bunch of these Pharisees. He is a prophet. Well, that didn't go over very well. Verse 18, but the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. Okay, now wait, now let's think. What had happened? A whole bunch of his friends had taken him to the Pharisees. This is the guy that was born blind. You know, Pharisee Phil, you've walked by him before. You've seen this guy now. This is Bob. He was born blind. And they come to the conclusion, well, he really didn't get healed. He was never blind to begin with. That's what they said. I mean, you know, guys, just, let me divert just for a moment. This whole thing, doesn't it sound like what goes on even today in churches? It's pathetic, isn't it? Well, anyway, so they called his parents as though all the rest of the people there were lying. They called his parents and they asked, saying, is this your son who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes? We know not. I mean, this is kind of like hear no evil, see no evil, you know? Speak no evil. I mean, and can you imagine this guy standing here? Here's his mom and dad, all right? And they're saying, we don't know. But he is our son, and he was born blind. He is of age. In other words, he's got his driver's license. Well, no, he wouldn't have a driver's license. But he's old enough to vote. I mean, you see what I mean about this guy? You know, he is, you know, at least 18, 19, 20, you know, whatever. He is of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. He's a big boy now. Now, verse 22. These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews. For the Jews, now pay attention to what's written here. For the Jews had already agreed that if any man did confess that he, who's the he? Jesus. So we know that this blind man had identified Jesus as being the person who healed him. That if any man did confess that Jesus was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Now, you might think, well, what's the big deal there? That phrase, be put out of the synagogue, let's make it a modern term, excommunicated. Now, here's the problem in that. The Jews, as you know, were the chosen race. They had the law of Moses. And over the centuries, what had happened was that so many conditions, so many amendments had been added to the law. Well, one of them said that if the religious leaders, which by this time would have been priests and Pharisees, if they decided that you were beyond help, they would excommunicate you from ever being allowed back into the synagogue. And they taught that if you were ever excommunicated in this way, that it didn't matter what you did from that point on, your eternity had been sealed and you were going to hell. There was no chance for you to ever go to heaven. So they call the parents. You know, they ask this guy, what do you say about this man? Well, this man's kind of smart. He just says, well, he's a prophet. And he leaves it at that. He doesn't say he's the Christ. He says he's a prophet. Well, you know what these people were getting at? The Pharisees. They were wanting this blind man, formerly blind man, to say he is the Christ. He didn't take the bait. He said he's a prophet. So they say, okay, fine, we'll get your mom and dad in here. Mom and dad, how'd this happen? And they say, well, you know, he's mature. You know, it's like we don't want to go to hell or anything, so ask him. We'll let him burn. We'd rather go to heaven. And so they called the man again that had been blind, verse 24, and they said, now look at this. Give God the praise, okay? Now, that sounds like a very simple thing, okay? Give God the praise. And we don't think of it as being a very strong statement. However, this was a statement that was used. Let me kind of bring it home here. It's like being on trial, and they say, you know, put your hand on the Bible, raise your right hand, repeat after me. Do you solemnly swear the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God? In other words, you're now under oath. And they were commanding him, basically saying, we are putting you under oath before God himself that the next words that come out of your mouth had better be truth or condemnation will come upon your life. And that's how strong this statement is. And they said, give God the praise. We know this man is a sinner. In other words, don't you exalt somebody who's a sinner. Now look at this fellow, 25. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. Now you say, well, okay, big deal. Now hold on here. This is a big deal. This man that was born blind was a Jew. He should know by virtue of what is contained in the law who is and is not a sinner. You understand what I mean? Herein lies the problem. Back in those days, the odds are, now I can't say this was guaranteed 100%, but pretty close to it. If you were born with a physical defect, remember, who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born blind. So you're born with a physical infirmity, blindness. Therefore, there is a curse of God upon you because of your sin. We're not letting defective material like you in synagogue school. And people like that were kept out. So when this man, when they say, this man is a sinner, and verse 25 he says, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. This is kind of a dig at them. In other words, you expect me to know everything you know when you've looked down on me your whole life and you've told me that God is cursing me because of something I did before I was even born? Now all of a sudden you expect me to be a religious expert. They said, he's a sinner. The guy says, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Now that doesn't sound maybe like that big of a statement, but what he's doing, he's looking these guys right in the eye. I mean, what a day this is, you know? I mean, you go from blind to sight to being on trial. It's like, I didn't do anything, okay? I was blind. Somebody healed me. Why am I the guy in trouble here? And when he says, look, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I'll tell you fellas, you God-fearing, God-representing, holy Pharisees, that man healed me and you never touched me. If I've got such a problem in my walk with God, why didn't you help me? Can you see how he's putting a burr under their saddle? Can you see the wisdom in this man? And then they said to him again, what did he do to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. In other words, you didn't receive it. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? I mean, you imagine his mom and dad, ooh, Bob, cool it, man, cool it. Can you imagine the crowd listening to this and what this blind man is saying? And some of those people standing back thinking, yeah, really? How come you Pharisees never prayed for him? How come you guys never spit and made mud? Why didn't you do anything to help him? And this Jesus comes along, and like that, Bob gets his sight. Yeah, Bob, you tell him. Would you be his disciples? That was it. Verse 28. Then they reviled him. That sounds semi-polite, but in other words, they read him the riot act. I mean, they took him to task. They were doing everything they can to embarrass him and just wear him. Why? Because there were people listening to this, and Bob's starting to make some sense. And these guys, quite frankly, their hypocrisy is being exposed. And said, thou art his disciple. Bob just met the guy. Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. In other words, hold on here, fellas. You only have a choice of two sources, God or the devil. And yet you stand right there and you say you don't know where this guy comes from. You don't know who's empowering him. You experts in the law. You followers of Moses who gave us the law. Shouldn't you be able to tell the difference between a sinner and a righteous man? You know, don't you want to meet this guy now when you get to heaven? You know, where's Bob? Show me old, you know, blind Bob. And he goes on and he says, now, we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Man, this guy is smart. For somebody's been shunned all of his life, the wisdom that's coming out of him. He asked these guys. It's almost like you're listening to Jesus talk here. He asked these guys. They said, you know, well, we're Moses followers. We don't know where this man comes from. Really? Well, now that is interesting because you only have a choice of two. It's either God or the devil. And we know that God doesn't listen to a sinner when a sinner prays. So, this guy, Jesus, came along and opened the eyes of somebody who had been born blind, something that has never been heard of in all our history. If this man were a sinner, there is no way God would have worked with him to cause my eyes to be opened. Now, I want you to carry this thought a little bit further. Remember the question that the disciples asked. Who sinned? His parents or him, that he was born blind? Listen, blind Bob, if you'd repent for your sin, God would forgive you and heal you. And you get your sight. You know what he's saying here in this? Hey, fellas, you know how you've been accusing me of having sin that I never repented of? And that if I would repent and get right with God, I'd get my sight? Look at me. I got my sight. And I didn't bring one offering to you. And it's the Sabbath. I didn't sacrifice one animal. Somebody came along and did for me what you should have at least tried to do. I guess I'm forgiven after all. What do you think, Pharisees? Can you see all the storyline that's going on in this? Say, well, how do you know for sure that's what they're talking about? Look, verse 34. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins. See this? They know what he's saying. How that I am not what you guys have been accusing me of. You were born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. And that cast him out, they physically would have grabbed, now they may not have, you know, picked him up and thrown him out a window, but they would have ushered him out. Well, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Now this is interesting, because up until now, it's not really clear in this story. You remember the man, he went, he washed, came back seeing, but yet it doesn't clearly say if Jesus stood there and waited for him. See what I mean? This may be the first time that he's seen Jesus. Now he would have recognized the voice, I'm sure. And so Jesus looks at him and he says, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? In other words, look, you tell me who he is and I'll believe on him. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. Now look at this next verse. And he said, Lord, I believe. And then look next. What did he do? And he worshiped him. Okay, now. That sounds so simple. But you've got to understand that in all the Bible, this is one of the greatest acts of faith ever recorded. Because what does the law say? Thou shalt have no other gods but me. And later on, through the law, it talks about you shall worship no other gods but me. And this man says, look, I appreciate what you've done for me. You want to know if I believe in the Son of God. Okay, you tell me who he is. I'll worship him. I'll believe. And Jesus said, it's me. The man said, I believe. And he worshiped. Now, you've got to understand, the moment, I mean, it's bad enough up to this point, but the moment that man made a decision to begin worshiping Jesus was the moment that, as far as the Pharisees were concerned, he had sealed his fate forever. He, listen, you're out there worshiping that guy that we don't know where he's from. You will never set foot in this synagogue again. And we don't care how many offerings, how many sacrifices, doesn't matter. You've crossed the line and you've gone too far. You have worshiped a false god. So this man literally, in verse 38... he was staking his eternal destination on what he believed right here. And at this moment, he had come to the place. I mean, what a day in the life of. in this one event in his life, he had come to the place of believing that everything the Pharisees had taught, even the law, had limitations. This man supersedes all limitations. This man has to be of God. He has to be God in the flesh, the Messiah that's been promised. I believe you. And it says, and he worshiped him. Now, we don't know exactly where this happened, but odds are this man was not alone when Jesus found him. Odds are there were other people there around. Can you imagine the impact that would have made on all of his Jewish friends? He begins worshiping the one who gave him his sight. I'll guarantee you this, that would have made an impact really even more than him getting his sight back. Because now this man, by worshiping Jesus at this particular point in time, what he was actually doing was committing every part of his life to Jesus. He was putting his faith in the pre-crucified Christ. He was doing a variation of what Abraham did. He trusted God, and it was accounted unto him as righteousness. Because there's no way the religious leaders were going to let him come into the synagogue and follow the structure of the law from that point on. There was no way. That means he could do his best to honor the law, but he would have been excommunicated for worshiping, for everything that he had done. And so it's like he's looking at Jesus and saying, Jesus, I believe, I really do believe, especially after this recent encounter with the Pharisees. They weren't happy that I had been healed. They were mad because you violated the law. I mean, think about this. You would think that these Pharisees would want some more information about this. Think for a minute, just think. Wouldn't you want to know, how can I get that same power to heal people? Because he's not the only person blind around here. Wouldn't you think they would at least be greedy and say, how do we get this power? Because if we use it, we can probably bump the offerings. I mean, these guys were so steeped in their religion and their twisting of truth, they did not rejoice with this man. They condemned him because he had a move of God in his life. And this guy came to the point and said, Jesus, look, after the day I've had, I believe. I believe you're the Son of God. I do. Especially after this conversation I have with these Pharisees, these guys don't know. I realize now they really don't know. You're the only one that really knows. So here's what I'm doing. I'm putting my faith in you. By golly, I better be right. Because if I'm wrong, I'm going to hell. And he put his faith in Jesus Christ. He didn't care who was there. And he worshiped him. He worshiped him. And it didn't matter what everybody else thought. He was convinced that not only was Jesus his healer, Jesus was his Savior. And from that day on, I don't know how much this man really understood, but I'll say it this way. From that day on, he was waiting for the culmination of the cross and the resurrection, so he could have that righteousness laid to his account, imparted to his very nature. Now, I have no idea what happened to this man afterward. I don't know what happened to him after the cross. But you know what? It wouldn't surprise me. I can't prove this. No way can I prove this. But it wouldn't surprise me if, just maybe, he was one of the 120 in the upper room. Wouldn't surprise me one bit. I mean, listen, I'm sure, boy, you know, you can speculate about these things all you want. But out of all the people that Jesus encountered, I'm telling you what, this is one man who wasn't standing there on that day yelling, crucify him. This is one man that would have been in tears. But he healed me. He is the Christ. Don't kill him. And yet when it was over and done with, this man received the culmination of his faith in Jesus. Spiritual righteousness. Now here's what I'm getting at in all of this. For one thing, when you really sit and pray and meditate, boy, it's like God will start bringing the story behind the story out. But this blind man can be an example to every single one of us. You see, not only were we born spiritually blind, but when we got born again, there was still a degree of blindness that existed in our lives. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that spiritual blindness, the sin nature is removed. And you probably, I don't know about your past, but figuratively speaking, there were Pharisees of the world that I had to separate myself from. And it wasn't that I actually had to work so hard at separating myself from my old drinking buddies, my drinking Pharisees, my pots Pharisees, and you know what I'm saying. It just happened. And it wasn't that they could have come with me. They could have. They didn't want to. And then later on in life, I had spiritual blindness relative to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And there, I don't want to be mean, but there are Pharisees today that would question. I mean, some of you have been there. You know what it's like. You could have been spiritually blind, born again, but spiritually blind to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And then your eyes are opened. You have that personal day of Pentecost. And you encounter Pharisees that tell you, no, it's not of God. And then later on, the blindness of not being able to pray in tongues any time that you want is removed. And you come to the place of understanding that you see that you can do this and what it will do for you. In other words, what I'm getting at is this. Throughout our lives, there are going to be various stages of blindness that need to be removed. Have you ever felt like when you were studying Scripture, maybe you heard a sermon and it's like the light went off. Suddenly I could understand this. Or it's like the blinders were removed. And suddenly I could see this in Scripture. See what I mean? Right now, in our lives, we have various levels of spiritual blindness. Now, it's not we're in sin. It's just that we haven't come to the place to where more pages have been illuminated to us on a spiritual level. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's all a part of growing spiritually, okay? This blind man, again, one of the greatest acts of faith recorded in Scripture, yet it seems so simple. But this guy came to the place of committing his life to Jesus Christ, being convinced that Jesus was who he said he was. We have to come to the place of being convinced that what God says in his word is true. All these things about the fasting, the worship, the meditation and confession of the word, the praying in the spirit, and all. We have to come to the place of believing they're true, even if we don't fully understand. Do you think this guy fully understood everything about Jesus? Heavens, no. But he was convinced in his heart, that's the man. And he stepped out of the boat and worshiped Jesus. And I'm telling you, his life was never changed. I just wish we knew more about this guy. But the day's coming, we will. We'll get to hear more of his story. Okay, what happened after that day? After you worshiped Jesus? I mean, after verse 38, what happened? What happened in chapter 10? I mean, tell me what happened. I want to know. And I'm sure he's going to have some interesting stories. You know what? For every one of us, Jesus is ready to remove all the blindness. So that no matter what kind of darkness we feel like we're walking in, we'll receive our sight. I feel like I don't have a clue what my future holds. I don't have a clue. He can remove the blinders. Let him touch you. This blind man, when Jesus, he spits, he's making the mud. The blind man, he's not for sure what's going on. He could ask his buddy, what's he doing? Well, he just spit. Okay, now what's he doing? Well, he's making mud with his spit. Really? Now what's he doing? Well, he scooped it up in his hands. Okay, now what's he doing? He's reaching toward your face. Smear, smear, smear. I think about it. And then Jesus says, okay, now go wash. It's like, wait a minute, you're the one that got me dirty. You wash. We have to make a decision. We're going to sit and let Jesus do in us whatever he needs to do. Metaphorically, if he needs to spit and make some spiritual mud and smear it on our spiritual eyes so that we experience the change, we have to sit there and let it happen. What am I saying? Change is not always a comfortable, pleasant experience. But the end result is that we will see things we have never seen before. And we will have a revelation of Jesus we've never experienced. I want to be like this blind man. I want to have that kind of faith, that kind of boldness, and that kind of willingness to let Jesus touch me in any way he needs so that I can see everything I need to see. Especially the glory of my Lord and Savior. Amen.